Okay, well, good morning. Sorry about the technical hitch. It proves that it's live and not beautifully recorded. Let's pray to start off with. Father, thank you for that reminder that we are completely reliant on you, that we are not fully in control of things. And Lord, I am very aware it's just me speaking, it's just words. But thank God that it's not. You are the God who loves us and you delight in us. You love us completely and you love talking with us. And you say, my sheep, my people will know my voice. So, Lord, please help each of us to hear your voice kind of behind and through what I'm saying. Lord, that we might be encouraged and inspired and that we might be. Live your life in the world in which we find ourselves. Amen. So here comes the Houdini Act. If you might remember the escape artist from a while ago, I've been given 1 Corinthians chapter 8. And when I looked at that and I read the first verse, now about food sacrificed to idols, I thought, that's a raw deal. That's tough. Thank you, Alan. But as I read and as I prayed and thought more, I realized how some principles from this passage are very relevant to our situations today. It's easy to feel discouraged at the moment. There's all these challenges of this COVID time. Maybe it's because we feel really isolated. Maybe we're in a pressure cooker of lots of people in a small space. Maybe we're worried about money or health that we might catch something or work uncertainty. So is God still in charge and at work in this time? Or perhaps we feel as Christians we are too few, too ordinary, too flawed to make much of a difference in our communities, in our workplaces. There's a lot of competing ideas or faiths or no faiths out there. This picture on the slide is of a girl at the Festival of Holi in India. It's a Hindu festival. And we, like the Corinthians did, live amongst many, many faiths. And we're called to serve God in that context. So, can God work with us to do good in our communities, our colleges, our workplaces? And more personally, can God walk and work with me? Next slide. So, I'd like us to explore 3 questions together. Whose world is it? Can God walk with us or with me? And how can God walk with us and work with us? So, firstly, whose world is it? Next slide. Here's a cartoon. For those of you who are on the telephone, it shows a table with a big throne at the end. And some people who are sitting at the table saying, at least we always know who's in charge around here. And I think to us, it can seem like maybe the politicians are in charge. Perhaps it's Premier Xi in China. Maybe it's leaders of organizations. Perhaps it's the celebrities who seem to have got life sorted. And in this passage, this refers, the Corinthians are looking at idols. And one definition of idols would be anything we put at the top of our world as if they're in charge, which isn't God. But God challenges this. Next slide. And says very clearly, there is but one God, the Father from whom all things come. And for whom we live. There's only one God in this world. There isn't no God. There aren't loads of gods or different gods. There's one God who's in charge. I love this picture, which is of a black hole. And I like to imagine God holding black holes in the palm of his hand. He created the whole universe. He sustains it all. And he could blow on this black hole, probably the most powerful force in the universe, and he could blow it away. He's in charge, no one else. So this gives us a perspective. Next bit, please. As 1 Corinthians 8 says, we know that an idol, anything that we think is in charge, anything we put at the top in our lives, anything that we put above God, is actually nothing at all. That throne is tiny compared with the God who holds black holes in the palm of his hand. It may not seem that way because all these other things are loud and well marketed. But God's ways, in contrast, are gentle. They're the ways of Jesus. And as Alan has shared a number of times, they are the ways of quiet service and suffering. But God is still in charge. Okay, so whose world is it? We know it's God's world. Let's move on to the second question. Can God walk with us? Perhaps we feel that we are too few and imperfect to make much of a difference. Sometimes we compare ourselves, not very favorably, with the shiny saints of the early church, the ones with the halos and that we see on stained glass, and the ones that seem to be doing a fantastic job in Acts chapter 2. But the book of Corinthians is a lovely balance to that. God tells us in Corinthians that the early church was decidedly mixed. Parts of it were doing great, but parts of it were quarreling. There was infighting. They were taking each other to court. There was false teaching. Some of its members even frequented prostitutes and got drunk on communion wine. They certainly weren't perfect. So 1 Corinthians is a great encouragement that God is able to use and always has used imperfect churches to advance his kingdom. But are we too small? We hear a lot of messages in the UK about the church is shrinking and overall numbers are shrinking, although there are quite a few denominations and churches that are growing strongly right now. We may feel like these red dots on this square, that we are too small, too few to make much of a difference. Just about 5% of people go regularly to a worship service in the UK right now. Next part. But we need to see from God's point of view. We are like those red dots scattered throughout our society. We're out among people. And that's an image that connects with the verse that we read from Matthew that talks about the yeast. It actually only takes 1.2% of the ingredients of bread to be yeast for the whole loaf to be influenced. And Jesus has told us very clearly that the kingdom of God is like yeast. And he's graciously given us, in the 5% of people in the UK who are Christians, 4 times the amount that is needed. So 5% is 4 times the 1.2% of yeast. So from a God's perspective, we're certainly plenty enough. And the really important bit is God at work, his incredible power. So I think we need to change our way of seeing. God can work with us, God loves to. And here's a picture I won't go into in detail, but St. Nicholas's Church in Leipzig in East Germany started a prayer meeting in 1982 for peace and the reunification of that country. Huge things to be praying for, and just a few people meeting. And that prayer meeting grew and grew and grew until in 1989, they flooded out from the little church of St. Nicholas, and there were 70,000 people on the streets of Leipzig with candles and praying. And the East German guards said, we know what to do with rioters. We go in with our batons and we bash them and we put them in jail. But we don't know what to do with people with candles who are praying. And the BBC cited that prayer movement as being a key factor in the fall of the Berlin Wall and of the collapse of the entire Soviet Union. We are not too few. Next slide, please. So let's make it a bit more personal. Can God walk with me? I think some of us too easily write ourselves off. God wouldn't want to use me, walk with me. I'm too broken. I don't know my Bible well enough. I'm not important to God. I'm not a leader. I don't stand at the front of church when we meet. In which case, I want you to draw your attention to this almost throwaway remark in this passage. So this weak brother or sister for whom Christ died. This weak brother or sister for whom Christ died. That's our value. That's how much God loves us. He was willing to give his only son. I cannot imagine the level of cost it would be to give one of my sons to die for others. I can't get my head around it. God did. He died for us. That's how much we are valuable to him. And if there was only one person on planet Earth, God would have died for you alone. And because he loves us that much, he wants to involve us in what he's doing in the world. So a couple of years ago, our neighbor needed to park her car in our drive. And I went out to have a look at it. It's a lovely white car. And I noticed that it had bird poo on it. And I thought, I really don't like it when there's bird poo on my car. It feels a bit kind of disgusting. So I'll wipe that off while the car is in my drive. And then I got a bit carried away and I thought, you know what? This car is quite dirty. And being white, it shows up a lot. So I got my bucket and sponge and was cleaning the whole car and was pleased because I thought, our next door neighbor's really going to enjoy this. And then Tom came out and he said, Dad, what are you doing? I said, I'm cleaning bird poo and I'm cleaning the car. And he said, can I join in? I said, yes. And so he helped me. And he did a reasonable job, but I noticed after he'd finished, not a perfect job. There was quite a lot of mud around one of the lights. So I just finished that off. And for me, that's quite a good picture of God and us. God doesn't need us to do anything. He runs the universe. He could reach everyone. He could serve everyone. Doesn't need us. I didn't need Tom to be able to clean that car. And we don't do a perfect job like Tom. We do some stuff and it's good and we do some stuff and it's not so good. But God's not too bothered by that. He can cover that. What God is bothered about, I believe, is he loves our company. He wants to be with us, like I delight in being with my boys. And he also loves us to be involved in something good that he's doing. So I was just over the moon that Tom was involved with me in doing something that would really bless and encourage our neighbor. She was pretty blown away by it. So I think God does like that. He just wants to be with us and he wants to involve us in what he's doing. So absolutely, yes, God can and loves to walk with you and work with you. Next slide, please. So we've looked at whose God, whose world is it? That God's in charge, whatever the loud voices say. We've looked at whether God can use an ordinary church of ordinary people. And we've come to the conclusion, absolutely. We're like yeast. In fact, we've got four times too much to be yeast, to change the nation, to change our community in good ways. So let's be encouraged. And he loves working with us. We're his children. We're his precious daughter or his precious son. And he just wants to spend time with us and involve us in the good things he's doing. So the third and final question is, how can God work with us? And I want to use an illustration here. And this is where that rather strange bit in the title of the talk today about turning the world purple will become a little clearer. I think we're called to be like Ribena people who help God turn the world purple. Why purple? It's just for the illustration. But one can think that purple is a colour of royalty, and therefore it's quite a good illustration because God is our king. If anyone of you don't know what Ribena is a blackcurrant drink. There are other types available. I'm not doing marketing. And it is best spread out in water. It's a concentrate. So how can we work with God? I think there are basically three options that faced the Corinthians, and the same three options face us in our connections with the world. First of all, we can blend in. We can have nothing particularly different to share. We can merge in with the values of those around us. We can look identical and live lives just like them. And in Corinth, the challenge would have been to just have taken part in idol worship or got involved in the promiscuous sex or just used unethical ways to raise money or followed false gods. Lots of temptations, and we have lots of temptations today. But if we do that, we've got nothing to offer. It's like these two glasses of water, and we're exactly the same as the other glass of water. So when we're involved, the glass of water stays exactly the same. It's unchanged. We've just blended in. So what's the second option? Well, we can live two separately. We've got life, but it's not shared. And in 1 Corinthians, the risk would be to go, look, this is a pretty awful society. We don't want anything to do with that. We don't want to be out in the marketplace. We don't want to be rubbing shoulders with people who are involved in prostitution or worshipping false gods. We'll keep ourselves separate. And I think that's a risk for us too. I feel challenged about how many of my good friends are people who don't yet know God. Too few, I think, too few. I wonder what the answer would be for you. We can be like Ribena in its little pot and a glass of water, but they're separate. So the fact that there is life or color or vibrancy in this Ribena is making no difference to the glass of water. So we can be two separate. The third option is that we can share life. We can reach out to those around us. The church in Corinth did reach out. It did grow and amazingly was used by God, despite its imperfections, to reach the whole of Greece. So we can be like a small Ribena pot poured into the glass of water. And even though that's a small amount of Ribena, it's affected the whole glass. In fact, it tastes very nice. So we can have a surprisingly positive impact, even though we are few, basically because of the God we serve, who's in charge. Next bit, please. But we have to have that Ribena. We need life to share. And I think the two things that we've mentioned quite a lot in our church, but they are the foundations, would be the next two. We want life. We need to spend time with the source of life, God, with him, receiving his love, reading the book of life, the Bible, and talking with him as we go through life. Next, please. But it's difficult to do on your own, and we're designed to live together, to do life and faith together. And so I'd really encourage you to join either one of the life groups, we've now got three, or the women's group, or just meet with other people to pray. But we need ways to encourage one another, and they're very open to you. Okay, next slide. So what does this look like? Okay, that's all kind of great ideas, but what's the practical nitty gritty? Okay, next bit. I'm not going to tell you to do a whole load of more things. That's terribly easy as a preacher. And there's a risk that you kind of connect with a guilt thing. I want to encourage us. I want to encourage you, my lovely church family. Because I think it's who we already are that makes a big difference. And when I was thinking about our church, these are the kind of things that came to mind. We tend to be people who are good at encouraging. We don't tend to put ourselves on a pedestal. We're pretty humble. We're very generous. We support Papua partners in pretty amazing ways. We are faithful. We keep going. We're kind. We're united. We've never had a big church split. I don't see cliques in our church, which is great. We are loving. We know how to rejoice. We know how to pray. We know how to serve. So be encouraged. And it's what we already do. There's a huge list there, from baby meals, cleaning, debt counseling, listening, waiting, looking after the building, all sorts of ways, looking after your grandchildren, serving in whatever your work is, helping those with mental health challenges. We are living Ribena lives and having that impact. So be encouraged, be inspired, keep going. That's what I think God is wanting to say to us. So let's summarize. God is the hope of the world. He's in charge. He holds black holes in the palm of his hand. He is life itself. And he's encountered through our local church, through us. We're doing a good job. We are being who we need to be, and we are doing what we need to do. Let's keep walking closely with him, spending that time with God every day, and doing it together, encouraging one another in the life groups and women's groups and in services. And when we do that, we bring that purple, like that purple has landed on that girl in a way that she delights. In the midst of all the colors, she has received the purple of the King. So let's keep on working with God to turn the world purple. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you're the one that makes the difference. We thank you for the awesome privilege of the fact that you love us completely, totally. You lavish your love on us. You're not judging us. You're rejoicing in us. And so, Lord, we ask that we might be encouraged, that we might hear and receive your phenomenal love for us, your shalom peace, your joy, and that we might be people who walk with you. And as we walk closely with you, may we kind of drip your color, your purple, into a world that needs your goodness and your life. Do amazing things, we pray. May we see them happen this week through us and through our entire lives. And may we give you all the glory, for you are the King of Kings. You are life itself. Amen.